The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Mathis, my God, okay. So now the CIA is recruiting transgenders. So they put them at the top of the list to make it inclusive. Now, if the ad said, we are continuing to enrich our workforce by targeting diverse communities across the United States to meet our talent needs with dedicated programs for citizens of African, Asian, Hispanic, Middle East, and South Asian. See, everyone but a white male need apply. The thing is to replace every white male in every governmental agency as fast as possible, irrespective of whether they can do the job. The main thing is that they're of these descents or of orientations, not that they can do the job. If they had said people who are showing a special, let us say, ability in the area of spying or cyber espionage of this descent, all right, maybe that doesn't matter then. But no, they're going to put ethnicity, sexual orientation, gender above the ability to do the job. And that's why the universities have turned into cesspools where shouting matches pass for intellectuality. Now, I want to go back to the Scalia story now that I haven't don't have your attention, because a man wrote me a letter anonymously. He listens to this show regularly on KKOH in Reno, but it came to me through a third-party source, and he said, I saw the killing of Mr. Scalia, and it raised my eyebrows. I saw the picture of him lying in his hotel room in Texas, too familiar to my own father's killing. He said, my father was an expert in hydrology with a doctorate from Berkeley. He made many enemies, much like the judge. He was killed for his knowledge, he says. He said, here is how he died. His death was called by a local coroner myocardial infarction, meaning a heart attack. But he had just eaten a meal and died soon afterward and was found flat on his face in a motel room at a resort for prominent people in the state of California. He said no autopsy was done. Cremation was executed before evidence on toxicology could be performed. The Sun writes, as was our suspicion, we think he had been poisoned by digoxin or ethyl glycol. Foxglove is also easily sprayed on food. A foxglove is the natural source, by the way, of digoxin. It's called, it's a natural source of digitalis. Comes from the foxglove plant. And he says, your history in herbal medicine tells you this. Ethyl glycol can be induced by 5 cc's into any solution of alcohol, as it is odorless and affects paralysis and heart attack comes on in minutes. The bloodstream carries both the alcohol and glycol right after absorption through the small intestine. 55 minutes is about right if a meal is served and digested. Mastication starts the process, and he may have excused himself to his room not feeling well. Remember what the judge said? They said he ate dinner, didn't feel well, and he went to lay down. He said, but his father, before he could act, he became immobile. Soon after, paralysis takes over. Death is swift. He said, if a blood panel had been done soon after death, using a gas spectrometer, it would have shown the chemicals. But if no one is looking for it or no one wants to see it, nobody would ever find it. Except for one thing. The deceased's eyes would remain dilated. There would be no discoloration. This is way too similar to my own father's political death. This only tells me, he says, that men on the political far right made liberal enemies. The only question remains for me is, whom does the death of Scalia serve? Well, I think anyone listening to this show knows for whom the bell tolls and why, and who it serves best. Progress towards these goals at the CIA will be measured. The 3-year plan will monitor the diversity and gender breakdown for recruiting trends and use so-called inclusion index measures to identify trends and resignations, and use the so-called inclusion index measures to identify trends of the elements necessary for creating a diverse and inclusive environment. Now you know why the CIA is a useless agency. Now you know why every agency under Obama has been corrupted to the point where they're functionless. They can't do a thing. They're looking at themselves. They're staring at their navel. They're worried about how many transgenders are in this spy agency, not how many spies they caught who are trying to blow us up. It's unbelievable to me. It gets worse. According to the plan, the CIA will hold agency-wide, quote, unconscious bias training, diversity and inclusion must become an integral part of our culture to position the agency to compete for and retain top talent and cultivate a qualified bench of future leaders. Deliberative processes combined with greater diversity and inclusion awareness will help combat unconscious bias and foster fair and equitable decision-making, the plan says. This is the epitome of insanity. There's not one statement in here that says we want people who are able to penetrate foreign terrorists, agencies, foreign terrorists, iPhones, break codes of foreigners who are trying to hurt us. No, it talks about just stupidity, idiocy. And that's why America is now crippled. Transgenders wanted at CIA. I would say that Obama's insanity has now invaded every agency of the government. Is there anyone listening to this show who can tell me that a transgender candidate would be a better candidate for the CIA than a non-transgender candidate? Is there anyone listening to this show who would tell me that hiring people based on their race, African, Asian, Hispanic, Middle Eastern, South Asian, and Native American, or their sex, their sexual orientation, being homosexual, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender, would that make them a better candidate for the CIA agency? No. It has nothing to do with the agency's mission. The agency's mission has been distorted and perverted by the psychopaths who have taken over every aspect of the government, which now leads me to the next statement. I woke up this morning and was pleased to see that the snowpack in the High Sierra is at 99% of normal. Now, what you don't know is that not only just a few months ago, the psychos in the newspaper business were trumpeting the liars in the weather business by telling us that we would all die from a lack of water because of the drought. Well, now that the drought is over, because the snowpack is at a normal level, because we just had another snowstorm last night, assuring us of a good water supply through the spring and summer, just as it always does, nature corrects itself generally every 7 years. We had 7 years of drought, now we'll have 7 years of rain. This is what's called a Mediterranean climate, something that Governor Brown never read about while he was studying to be a Jesuit. He didn't read about the Mediterranean climate. He read about hysteria and fostering madness amongst the population along the lines of the Pope, who was trying to stir up hatred for anyone with anything while laughing all the way to the Vatican. But the point is that we have sufficient water. Snowpack is high. Have you seen one story saying, thank God nature has corrected itself. We passed that horrible, horrible drought. It's over. Not one. No one has admitted that they were wrong. Not one of the screaming ninnies in Sacramento or in Washington has ever admitted that their lies about global warming were all wrong. Never. Instead, they go on to the next crisis. One crisis after another to keep you jumping like a lab rat. But the crisis is over. The snowpack is at 99% of its norm, which means it's at its norm. You can't be at 99% of its norm because it means it's at its norm, because there's no fixed number. There's no fixed snowpack. It's generally within a range. That's anybody that understands anything about statistics knows that. So we have great snow in the High Sierra, which means we'll have water in the spring and summer, which means that all of this sky is falling that Governor Brown put out is over. Has he given a speech saying, we thank God for the fact that the drought is over? We thank nature for correcting itself? No. They keep up the restrictive water policies, the absurd costs of waters by the gangsters who run the local water agencies, and that's why I say the society is broken from top to bottom. She said, all right, good, now what? What are you going to do to fix it? Nothing. Nothing. I'm not a politician. What do you want me to do? Fix it? What do you mean? I promise you I'm going to fix everything that's wrong with society? When did I ever promise you that my job as a talk show host is to fix everything wrong with society? Isn't that the job of politicians? Isn't that the job of Barack Obama to fix things instead of breaking them? Wasn't it his job to bring races together instead of driving them apart? Wasn't it his job to create jobs, not to destroy jobs? Wasn't it his job to make us more safe rather than less safe? Yeah, well, don't blame me. Blame yourself for voting him into power and voting every other liberal, Democrat, psychopathic liar. That's the opening to the show. All I want for Christmas is your two front teeth. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. Racing on the Cross Bronx Expressway. That's being a man. Sumner Redstone had male nurse guide him through sex with woman. 92-year-old media mogul's ex-girlfriend Manuela Herza claimed. This is a... Look, I wouldn't read this story except for its prurient interests. This is the only reason I'm reading it. Because if I turn to the newspaper for anything serious, I mean, I'm wasting my time and yours. But for a story like this, they're good. This is good. Sumner Redstone is the man who... Giant, giant man. Owned Viacom, CBS, built it on his own. I think his real name was Sammy Rothstein. I'm not sure exactly, but I think it was Samuel Rothstein or whatever. That was his business name. He's entitled. And it worked for him. Sumner Redstone, the former head of Viacom and CBS, needs male nurse to guide through sex and wants a simple Jewish funeral, ex-girlfriend Manuela Herza claims in court documents. She was up for getting $60 million. They threw her out, finally. So she filed new court paperwork yesterday in L.A., confirming that UCLA psychiatrist Dr. Stephen Reed evaluated the former head of Viacom and CBS and prepared a 37-page report. And she says this is compelling evidence which proves that Sumner Redstone was mentally incompetent and easily manipulated when she was kicked out of his mansion last October. The filing says totally isolated in a virtual intensive care unit and dependent on others for his well-being, this frail 92-year-old man is no longer able to make competent decisions about meaningful matters in his life, the filing says after Reed's exam. Delving into Sumner Redstone's previously alleged sex obsession, Herzer further described how a male nurse was in a room personally directing sexual interactions between Redstone and a woman in recent months. I've never read anything like this. She claimed the nurse was able to convince the once towering tycoon that he had ejaculated when he had not. Oh, come on. She said he lives behind a black curtain in a room that he no longer leaves with a fantasy life where he's told that he's having intimate relations that did not occur. The new filing prepared by lawyer Birchfield states, the paperwork is highly critical of Redstone's daughter Shari and also reveals the funeral and burial instructions Redstone purportedly set. So here they are. Redstone said he wanted to be buried in a simple pine box with no makeup, no cologne. He must be allergic to cologne. Wait a minute. If you're in a pine box, does it matter if you have cologne or not? He doesn't want makeup or cologne, no jewelry, no hairstyling. He wrote, I would like to have a traditional Jewish funeral, the notarized document states. No personal items should be placed in my casket. He asked for only a private graveside service with newly elected Viacom chairman Philippe Dauman and newly elected CBS chairman Les Moonves delivering eulogies. Wait, it gets even better. Music from Tony Bennett. I'm not laughing at the guy. It's a nice saying. Yeah, we all think about this. I won't write one up yet because I'm not ready to even think about it. But he even knows what music he wants. Music from Tony Bennett and Frank Sinatra's I Did It My... That's one of my favorite songs. Music from Tony Bennett and Frank Sinatra's I Did It My Way should be played amid a scene decorated with flowers and pictures of, of me, he said. I'm not trying to laugh at, you know. Redstone said he, could you play I Did It My Way when I'm through with this monologue? Redstone said he wanted to be buried next to his parents at Sharon Memorial Park in Massachusetts, according to the filing. The bimbo, I mean, Herzer filed a lawsuit in November asking a judge in L.A., is like a judge in South Texas, asking a judge to step in and restore her position as the agent in charge of Redstone's advance health care directive. Redstone's lawyers are fighting the move with the support of Shabba. They claim Herzer, the girl, is only concerned with the $70 million she purportedly was aligned to receive before removal last October, and they want the case dismissed. She said Redstone is incompetent, unintelligible, prone to crying spells, the victim of prurient urges. Still? Prurient urges at 92, and fixations that he is unable to control and oblivious to his once beloved tropical fish collection. I'm sorry, this reads like a little mini novel. Pardon me, this is an amazing story. It's so rich with detail, down to the tropical fish he once loved. This part I don't understand. He's subject to prurient urges at 92 and fixations, even at that age? That's horrible. Anyway, I won't read any more because the rest is kind of yucky about this and about that. You can read it yourself, but the point of the story is there is no point to it.
Much more
other than it's a fun... Oh, that's the...
Did it in my
that's what he wants at the funeral. Have any of you listening to the show thought about what you want at your funeral? I don't even think about it. Come on. Play it for a minute.
Again,
this is not a good version. This is to turn it off. No, this is such a bad 60th generation YouTube piece. You know, you got to listen to a song the way it was intended to be heard, for God's sakes. Is this really a picture of him? He still has brown hair on the top of his head? How old was he when this picture was taken? He did well for himself. Look what he built. Don't laugh at the guy. You know, he lived this long. You know, it leads you to ask, do you really want to live that long? If you're laying behind a black curtain and everybody just wants you to die for your money. I mean, what's the benefit to it? That's an interesting question. I mean, at what age do you really want to go? You want to, let's get very, no, I shouldn't do that to the audience. It's too suggestive. People will get freaked out thinking about it. It's a strange thing, human beings. That's why we love our animals. They don't think about death. All they do is fear things that could hurt them. But they don't even know what death is. That's why we love them. They're innocent in that regard. I mean, I look at my dog. After a full meal, what does he do? He lays on his bed, upside down, with his stomach pant. He lays there breathing. Nothing bothers him. He knows he's inside a house. He's safe. There are no predators. I'll protect him. And we love that, right? So we love our animals. They don't think about the eternal. No words about spirit. Did he do anything wrong? Did he touch himself once when he was two? That he has to be punished for in the next world? Is he against illegal immigrants coming across the border and should he be punished because he's not truly of a certain religion? He doesn't even have those thoughts. We're the only creature on the planet that walks around pretending we're going to live forever in order to take the next step, not even thinking about the inevitable. And knowing there's the inevitable, which we push away at every turn. So philosophically, it makes us a little skitsy, don't you think? I know that's an interesting question, that whole philosophical... Oh, okay, no one thinks about it but me. I've been thinking about it since I'm 5 years old. I've been thinking about it since I've been a baby. I've been seeing visions about the next world since I'm a baby. So what should I do with it? Reject it? Take a medication? No, thank you. That's why I churn out poems. That's why I churn out songs that you never heard. That's why I laugh lately to myself. I actually am telling myself jokes. They come up in my head and I start to laugh. I've never done that in my life. Like I'm walking around and a funny thing happens and I think about it and I start to laugh. Now you say, well, are you crazy or is it really funny? I don't know. Sometimes I read it on the air the next day. I write it down if I remember and it is funny. Of course, the test is the next day when you're awake and all of that. So there are many topics to talk about. Scalia's strange passing, Apple versus the FBI, transgenders only need apply to the CIA. Are you planning your funeral? What do you want at it? Does anyone think about those things anymore? I know that in my parents' generation, this was a big deal. My father was an immigrant. Almost within a few months of getting off the boat, he had a burial plan. Would you believe that? I don't know, it's like an eerie thing to talk about. With great respect, I say it. Immigrants were very concerned about the ultimate piece of real estate. When they arrived in this country, they joined a burial society to make certain that they had a place of rest. I know amongst the Chinese community in San Francisco, this is a very important issue. Tomorrow night, by the way, is the Chinese New Year parade in San Francisco with the dragons and the drums and the smoke and the hissing. I'll probably go and watch it on Columbus Avenue. It's an amazing thing to watch. This is the largest Chinese community outside of China. This is why I love living here. I mean, it's really like in another universe. And when you walk down Grant Avenue, if you really watch very carefully, that's the heart of Chinatown, and you look behind doors and you look upstairs into the private clubs, you know, it's like Mulberry Street for the Chinese, if you know what I'm talking about. But they have their own worlds. And it's an amazing society, amazing culture, and amazing ethnicity. Look at what the Chinese people have given this country. Think about that. Think about what immigrants have done that is so great in this country. Think about all the Nobel Prizes. Think about all of the inventions and wonderful things the Chinese people have given this country. Now, of course, the rest of the statement is pregnant with obviousness, which is not all immigrant groups are the same. Not all immigrants come here to contribute. Some come here to take and to kill and destroy. And that's the crux of the matter. The politicians know this, but they're liars. By nature, a politician is a liar by nature. They know that not all immigrants are equal. They know that there should be barriers to certain immigrant groups. They know there should be certain barriers to people coming from certain countries and regions. They know all of this. But they make it so that you think you're a racist for knowing reality and truth. No. See, this is the craziness of the times we're living in. So that's the world through a nutshell here on the Savage Nation. Let's go to a caller or two. Martin on KSVO in my hometown of San Francisco. Martin, go ahead, please.
Michael, I think there might be a good reason for having transgender in the military or in the CIA.
Okay, so say it. I was drinking a diet soda.
I think we might be able to actually find people with the physical strength of men that could actually get past second base with our enemies, our heterosexual enemies.
What do you mean? They look like women, but they're as strong as men?
No, they are women. They're transgender, right?
I don't know, but which was it? Transgender runs two ways.
It may make them weak. Probably does. I don't know. Just a thought.
I mean, it could be a woman making believe she's a man and have be not as strong as she needs to be for the job. Isn't that true? You were saying the other thing. You were saying it would be a man making himself look like a woman, so it would give him an advantage in a certain situation. Isn't that what you were saying?
Absolutely.
Listen, it's insanity. To put someone's sexual orientation above their ability to do the job is a mark of the decay of our society. That was my whole point. I don't care if the person's transgendered. Let them show a special ability to be a worker inside the CIA whose job is to do certain things, not to just be transgendered. That was my point, which I think was not lost on my audience. Why is the Scalia issue not being covered by anyone in the media? Why would Anderson Blooper, who looks like a nice guy but as stupid as they come, the guy was born with a lack of IQ, we know that. Good-looking guy, probably a very nice person, but minimal IQ to pass for sane. He has the nerve to ask Jeb Bush last night during a town hall meeting what his favorite music is. He asked Jeb Bush what his favorite music is. They don't cover anything. So, that's what we're talking about. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website. Diseases Without Borders is my new ebook, which is already number one in health, because it's a small book that's very important. That's why people are jumping at it. I hardly ever talk about it. I took all the years of my talking about vitamins and nutrients on the show and put it in one little ebook, very inexpensive, for this time of immigrants and epidemics. And it's doing very well without promotion. That's a good thing. Now let's go to the heart of the monster, WMAL in Washington, D.C. Line number 9. Robert, go ahead, please.
Hi, how are you, Dr. Savage? I work for the CIA, and I wanted to let you know what is going on since Obama's taken over. I've been there for about 5-6 years, and nothing's on merit or qualification anymore. Everything is on, you know, who's race, ethnicity, man, woman, transgender, gay.
Obama has destroyed everything he's touched. Obama's insanity has destroyed everything he's touched. It's like a disease. It's like a disease. The man is a maniac.
Well, the problem is, since we're so close to the government, it doesn't enable us to do our job or skill sets anymore because we're so tightly regulated, and we're not allowed to perform at a moral task. And it's just...
Well, in other words, they're not hiring based on abilities to be a good spy or a good this or a good that, that would advance the mission of the CIA. Instead, it's all about race, quotas, ethnicity. In other words, affirmative action in plain English, correct?
Yeah, basically. Should have went into the private sector. But,
well, how does an agency perform if they keep hiring incompetent morons based strictly upon race, gender, sexual orientation, country of origin? How can they even perform their job?
I don't know how they get it. Well, look what's happened to the educational system, what you always say.
Well, no, look at what's happened to the presidency. That's the answer right there. I'll be back in a minute. Thanks for calling.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO.
There used to be a sweetness in music. There used to be a sweetness everywhere. There's nothing. It's like he sucked the sweetness out of the nation and injected a toxin of hatred. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know I was on the air. This just came back to me by email from my publicist at the publisher. Michael, you've been invited to participate in an event with Fox Business. See below for details. It's from a gentleman at the Fox Business show. For the John Stossel show on Fox Business on Saturday, February 27th at 1 p.m., John will go down to D.C., to tape at the Students of Liberty Conference in front of an audience of 500 students. Would Michael Savage be interested in coming on the show to debate criminal justice reform with John Stossel? John is a libertarian and would support arguments in favor of Obama's policies such as these. Thousands of drug offenders to be released from federal prisons, Obama criminal justice reforms from the NAACP. He's going to take that side. It would be a lively debate, I think. Would that interest Michael? Regarding logistics, we'd be happy to provide a driver to take him to the event and back. Well, first of all, if you're listening, Mr. L, no. And number two, I actually agree with the reforms. So it wouldn't be a very lively debate because I would agree with Stossel, who I like very much. In that sense, I'm a libertarian. Of course we have 20 people in prison. The wrong ones are not in jail. They're the ones in... If you were to arrest everyone in Washington, D.C., and then release the innocent, which would probably be about 1% of them, I'd be all for it. A categorical arrest of everyone in Congress. Arrest all 400 people in Congress and let those who are innocent prove they're innocent. Then I'd be interested in arguing that one, but I'm not going to go argue about this.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Talk radio for the thinking person. Yeah, people are calling about all sorts of topics. You're invited to call, obviously, to open mic to Mike Friday. Rock and roll Friday is what it is. Thank God it is Friday. But there's no rest. No rest for the weary. Tomorrow I got to watch another debate. It's an election. Sorry, election somewhere. I don't know what it is. Primary, a shmimary. How many different elections and fights and debates do they want me to watch? It's a circus. Created specifically for the media to make money. No other reason do we have such an election system, electoral system. So now here's Bernie Sanders' crazy brother, who's older than the nut, who backs class warfare, and he says Bill Clinton was worse than Bush. Take a look at the face of Bernie Sanders' brother, and you'll see two, I mean, this is genetic. These are two of the most hardcore lunatics. They belong in Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey freak show, these two. Bernie Sanders has an older brother who lives in England. Teaches hatred 101, and he backs class warfare in America. I mean, what was it, the seltzer water? Was it the toxins in the corned beef? What explains the madness of these two brothers? They've done so well in America, and they still hate it. How is that even possible? So I'm going to take some calls instead of just opining on these matters. Because even Salon, the left-wing Looney Tunes group, has said that Hillary can't win, and they're backing the class warfare expert, Bernie Sanders. That's going to be great. What an election that's going to be. It's going to be just great. They set it up so that we're actually praying that Hillary wins the primary, because we know that she'd be less crazy than him. I told you from the beginning the whole thing's a sham, that he's part of her team to make her look centrist. I still believe it. That he's just a sideshow in the Ringling Brothers and the Clinton Brothers campaign. It's like the Clinton Brothers circus needed a freak so far to the left that it would make his wife look normal. Centrist, you know what I'm saying? That's what it looks like to me. Because they're not letting him get there. He is not getting that prize. I don't care what the smart people say. He better not visit any strange resort on a free trip. That's all I could say. He better not accept any listen of food or listen of wine. Dear Bernie, we love you. We love you to death. Please try this wine that Johnny and I put together for you. From the beginning of my radio career, I was warned by program directors, we never eat listener food. We don't accept food sent by listeners who love us. I used to get bottles of wine from guys who lived in Napa Valley. Dear Mike, we love you. Bernie and I put this special drink together. It went immediately into the toilet. But Bernie is such a cheap socialist, he probably can't resist a free meal. It would kill him to throw food away that came for nothing, or a bottle of wine for nothing. He's the type that would drink it. No matter what the CIA, anyone tells him not to drink it, he'd drink it anyway. He's such a chiseler. I can't imagine if it's him versus Trump, what's going to happen. It would be Trump versus Bernie. I don't know, man. This is crazy with the demographics that have been created under this crazy man in the White House. Who knows what could happen? Okay, what do you want to talk about? Let's go to SBA Radio in Pennsylvania. Dave, welcome to the program. What's your topic? Fire away.
Yeah, why shouldn't Obama get to name the next Supreme Court justice? I'm just saying, if you're a Republican president, I'd be clamoring.
Wait, excuse me, when did I say he has no right to nominate someone? When did you hear me say that?
Not you per se, but just
Well, he has a right to nominate, but you do know there's a process that follows the nomination, right?
Yes, of course, he has to be confirmed.
Well, there's a very strong vetting process by the United States Senate that's very grueling for any candidate. So, yeah, I mean, he can nominate anyone he wants. He can nominate Karl Marx. He could disinter Lenin from Moscow and resuscitate him. He can take a piece of Marx's DNA and try to make a Frankenstein candidate. He would still have to go through a vetting process. So, yeah, he has a right to nominate. I never said he didn't.
What do you think is going to happen if he nominates someone like, say he would nominate Eric Holder? Do you think the Republicans actually have the guts to turn him down after they already let him be Attorney General?
Yes, because of his track record after he became Attorney General, the things he did, the race warfare he engaged in, the lowlifes he associated with, would immediately disqualify Eric Holder. Anyone else you can suggest? I'll tell you why they won't get the prize. Let's say he nominates Loretta Lynch, who just came out from New York's courts as a direct result of lobbying by the despicable Al Sharpton. He makes her Attorney General. She's already made a critical error. And that critical error was saying that anyone who criticizes Muslims will be investigated by the FBI. She said that, by the Justice Department. She had to backtrack 2 days later. That's an immediate non-starter. She's finished.
Okay, but...
She'd be finished if I were on the judiciary panel. Not if the milquetoasts were there now. I don't know what they're liable to do. They've already given in already, I think. It looks like they've caved in already and bought the pink shirts and the pink ties. It looks like McConnell went on and bought a dozen. They're cheaper by the dozen. He bought a dozen pink ties to give out to the Republicans on the committee. So anything could happen. See, I got to keep my humor going. I'm an eternal optimist no matter what happens. What can I do? And I can't change the course of human events. I'm not like others in talk radio who think that they're going to actually change anything. We can't change anything. We think we can. If we have hubris, we think we change things. What do we really change? Tell me what we really have changed for the better in this country. At the end of the day, it's a pretty sad story to tell. I wrote some of the most brilliant books you've ever read. I've done some of the most brilliant broadcasts in the history of radio. What have we gotten? It's gotten worse, not better. Why? Because the demons who run things are so devious that they have stocked the electorate with people who will vote for their horrible policies, no matter what the average taxpayer thinks. They have put such rotten judges in places that they can virtually almost guarantee their agenda is followed, no matter what the people think. That's the problem. That's why I was focusing this morning on the craziest of all stories. Transgenders wanted at CIA. I said, this is the epitome of insanity. It's not that necessarily a transgendered person couldn't be a good candidate at the CIA, but they're not saying that. They're targeting diverse communities based strictly upon their race or their sexual orientation, not upon their abilities to perform the functions required of the agency. This is insanity. This is insanity. KSFO, Drew, welcome to the Savage Nation program. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I think you're wrong with Apple and siding with the government. You just got done telling us that they're going to try to hire people based on their diversity and not their skill. This is the same government that shoves global warming farce down our throat. You've also told us that they give tanks, artillery, and other advanced weapons to the enemy while trying to disarm we, the American people. This is another government that I want to give the ability to crack my phone. I like Donald Trump. I hope he wins.
But hold, you're loading. You're loading. Can I answer one? You changed it from what you said you were going to talk about in order to get your point across. Your point is that I'm wrong on the Apple versus FBI subject. Isn't that what you're saying fundamentally?
Yes, but it's tied together. They're all tied together.
Would you slow down for a minute, please? I know your ADD is out of control. I realize it's the 19th of the month, and your medication ran out. But it will be renewed by Monday. But listen to me. Listen to what I said. An iPhone hacker who was famous came up with a method to crack the Muslim terrorist phone without threatening our security. Did you happen to hear that on the show today or yesterday?
Yes, I did hear that.
So let me read it again. One of the greatest iPhone hackers in the world said, Apple could carry out the judge's order by creating a RAM disk signed by the company's production certificate for the specific ECID of the Muslim suspect's iPhone. And that solution would allow Apple to use existing technologies in the firmware file format to grant access to this phone, ensuring that there is no possible way the same solution would work on another device. Do you care to comment upon that?
I agree that that's true. And if we have a government that acts in good faith, that would be fine. But this is the same government that could elect...
Sir, excuse me. It's not about the government. The hacker said that it's Apple that could do this, not the government.
But we are on the verge of...
So you're on the side of Apple. So I'm saying Apple can do it this way and ensure that our security is protected. It has nothing to do with the FBI's abilities.
Yes, but see, Apple could get strong-armed by the government at some future point by...
But we're not at the future point. We're only at this point. Two Muslims go on a shooting rampage. They kill a number of people. They injure 32 for life. Their phone is found. The FBI is stumped. They can't break into that phone. Apple can help by making it specific to that phone.
Fair enough, but the government...
Thank you for calling. Well, at least you're a fair man and you listen to me. That's all. So you see, you started out saying I was wrong, but actually you didn't listen to me. I was right. I'm a very careful man. I have a scholarly background, and I am very careful with what I say when I'm not joking around. Admittedly, when I joke around, I'm not that careful. But I'm not joking around right now. I'm being very careful and very specific, by the way. So, what now? 855-400-7282. We're still dealing with the Pope, who's working with Obama, no doubt, to change the world while going back behind his Vatican walls, living a hypocritical life. And it's all orchestrated by some powers that I can hardly imagine. Don't get me started on this. They found Obama out of nowhere and made him president. Then they find an Argentinian bouncer who became a cardinal through politics, a left-wing fanatic. And they make him the Pope. Now, out of nowhere, they find a New York gutter rat, Bernie Sanders. Now, suddenly, he's ahead of Hillary Clinton. You think all of these things are happening by accident? There is a worldwide socialist revolution that's going on. It's well along. This is all part of the program. Make no mistake about it. And they knocked off Scalia. Put that down amongst the laughable conspiracy theories. Go ahead. See if I care. Put it into the category of, oh, Michael Savage, crazy talk show, said that he was killed. It's all part of a socialist agenda. Right, Anderson? Isn't he nuts, Anderson? Isn't he nuts, Anderson? Anderson, you were there in Egypt with the iPhones in your back pocket. You were there during the revolution, Anderson. You know really what's going on, right, Anderson? Now, maybe I know what's going on. So tomorrow's another day now. We have to watch that one in South Carolina. You got one of the candidates waving a Bible around. I'm surprised Cruz hasn't come up with snakes yet and strychnine on the stage. I know he's quoting the Bible now, showing the Bible, running around. Now it's the snakes. He ought to get Jimmy Carter on the stage with him, with the strychnine and the snakes. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO.
I am absolutely focused on delivering results for people, and it is obviously troubling that people have questions about me, which I will do my best to answer. But I think they really come down to saying, well, look, you know, like this young woman asked me, you've been around a while. We've seen your face a long time. What does that actually mean? Well, I've been around doing stuff. I've been around getting things that I believe will help people.
Right, right. I step right up. Fresh face. So someone wrote this on my Facebook. No federal investigation, no inquiry, and not one Republican or Democratic congressman talking about Scalia's death. Something is wrong in Washington. Another one writes, my immediate thought was after hearing of his death was he was assassinated. And then she says, I associated Foxglove with the heart attack and thought of how easy it would have been to acquire the seeds. All that would be necessary to produce the results witnessed. They can be bought anywhere. Another one is calling and saying there should have a process in place when a politician dies for an inquiry. Automatic triggering an inquiry. Automatic. Any politician that passes away suddenly should trigger an automatic process to put people's minds to rest. But to see no investigation and worse yet, no discussion leads me to believe there's a vast cover-up. That's all there is to it. I think the Scalia issue is the most important issue right now. I'm actually quite surprised that there is no discussion whatsoever. It's not irrational of me to discuss this when every medical examiner in the nation who is of any educational quality says the same thing. They're stunned by this. Any dummy in the medical business knows that I'm right. That it's A, a suspicious death, and B, worthy of investigation. So, I don't know why you're not interested in this, but people are already, you know, hush, hush. Michael Savage asked Monday, was Scalia murdered? Nationally syndicated talk radio host Michael Savage called for an investigation on the level of the Warren Commission. Of course, nothing happened, because I'm an unknown talk show host who's only been around 21 years. I've written 29 books, 9 bestsellers in a row. I'm of no importance. What's really important is someone from wherever. What's the difference? I'm asking a rational question. This man protected us from the après moi le déluge, as they would say. Après moi le déluge. That's French for he protected us from the liberal hordes, in plain English. He protected us from the liberal mobs that are on the verge of, really, I'll tell you the truth, this whole country's on the verge of pure anarchy. He has destroyed he has neutralized the police who are afraid to do their job. And so the animals in the street are now acting up. Knifings, slashings, robbings. Ask anyone who lives in a big city what's going on, because the police have more or less been neutralized by the psychotic in the White House, along with his henchmen in the Justice Department. The police have been neutralized. And so the street animals are out of control, of all races, by the way. They're acting up. They're not afraid of the cops anymore. And that's what's going on. So your life is now not as valuable as it was several months ago. Now tell me what this country is going to be like if a psycho-liberal becomes the next Supreme Court justice. Even if a moderately liberal individual somehow gets through the process, and it's no longer 5-4 in our favor, but 5-4 in the favor of the psychos, the country is over forever. It's finished. It's over forever. Nothing will ever be safe again or good again. I'll give you an example. Hiring based on race or sexual orientation, which is, on the face of it, wrong. It's illegal. Meaning affirmative action is, on the face of it, illegal. Affirmative action is illegal. And one of the major affirmative action cases was coming up before the Supreme Court. Scalia would have certainly found in favor of qualifications rather than race or sex. What's going to happen when a wackadoodle left-wing judge says no, for affirmative action is fine when it isn't? Tell me what this country will look like after a hearing like that. The latest poll from South Carolina. Is your heart ready to take it? Go reach for your digoxin.
because I'm going to give you the latest GOP polls in South Carolina before Saturday's primary. Your heart is about to stop. Well, it's another NBC Wall Street Journal Marist poll. It may as well be an NBC Wall Street Journal Vatican poll. Trump 28, Cruz 23. They were wrong in the last poll. They had, like, Trump down 10. Then Reuters had him up 10. Who knows? What's the difference? What difference does it make, after all? Let's see. Trump calls for Apple boycott. That's good. Good. He's right. There should be. This is good. At least he has one candidate who's dealing with the unfolding, the events unfolding on the ground, as opposed to holding up a Bible and a snake. Do we have the sound of this? Yeah, okay, let's hear what old Donald has to say.
First of all, Apple ought to give the security for that phone, okay? What I think you ought to do is boycott Apple until such time as they give that security number. How do you like that? I just thought it. Boycott Apple. Here's the thing. First of all, the phone's not even owned by this young thug that killed all these people. The phone's owned by the government. Okay, not even his phone. We don't even have to go that far. But Tim Cook is looking to do a big number, probably to show how liberal he is. But Apple should give up. They should get the security. You'll find other people. When these two young people had bombs all over their apartment on the floor, other people saw those bombs. Well, those people, okay, in a certain way, are
all... See, he's right. You see, he's the only candidate who is quick enough on his feet, because he's a New Yorker who's smart, who could actually move with the events that are changing on the ground. This is the number one issue right now. And many of you are libertarians, which I respect, by the way, because I'm a sexual libertarian. I'm a libertarian in other areas as well. But I've told you it's not either government or FBI, government or Apple. That's not the way it is. It's not either or. And you say, oh, Savage, you're wrong, but you didn't hear what I said to you. A legendary iPhone hacker gave an answer to the problem. He's an expert, but you're not hearing it because many of you don't understand the technology well enough to even argue this discussion, have this discussion. You're not understanding that it's not about Apple or security. He said there's a way to do it, so the technical development that would be required would be limited only to their phone, and there would be no possible way the same solution would work on another device. Shouldn't that put you at ease? Why in the world are you still coming along with the simplistic, you know, either-or argument? There's another argument, which I just gave you, and Trump is 1,000% right, which proves that he's the most qualified and the most courageous of all candidates. I don't think that Cruz is smart enough to understand the issue, for sure. I'm sure the ice cream man couldn't get the nuance of this. Tinkerbell would have to go back to the drawing board and have someone give him a script to answer this. Carson could get it. Bush could probably understand it after a good tongue lashing from his mother. If Barbara sat down with a blackboard and explained it to him over and over again, like the Queen of Diamonds might, I think he could get it. I don't even know who else is left. Kasich, I don't know where he came from. This guy's in favor of the Pope now. He wants to build more walls, more bridges, not walls. You hear this? This is crazy. Kasich, of all of them, he's gone up in smoke. White smoke just emerged from Kasich's candidacy. Here it is, Kasich. Clip four, here's Kasich taking the side of the hypocrite from Rome. Listen to number four.
Well, first of all, I'm pro-Pope, okay? Put me down in the pro-Pope column. And I've seen the whole... Really, I mean, come on. Look,
come on, what?
I don't know.
Come on,
exactly.
What, idiot?
Look, this is a guy
off,
who
finished.
Said when
goodbye,
somebody
off the stage. Goodbye. Goodbye. You're on the side of the Leninist Pope. Very good, Kasich. Your candidacy just went up in white smoke. End of story. Now we move on. I mean, the Pope's got an awfully big wall at the Vatican. I haven't seen him sell any Michelangelos to help the poor. I offered $1 million for the Sistine Chapel ceiling. I mean, that's a joke, of course. You have to understand how much it's really worth, but I have to spell that out. I went on the air and said, I hereby offer $1 million for the Sistine Chapel ceiling so that the Vatican can give the money away to the poor. I mean, they haven't gotten back to me on that. I'll take it. I'll even hire the laborers to go take it down. It would have to come with the rotunda, which I'd put over one of my houses. God, can you imagine how sick this? It's crazy, but what I'm saying is I haven't seen them give up a gold bar to the poor. Who is he kidding, this guy? And his carbon footprint? He's a Mr. Environmentalist. He knows nothing about climate. Nothing. Zero. The only thing the Pope knows about climate is that when it rains, his aides hold an umbrella over his head. But he became an expert on global warming. Then he attacked capitalism. He is he's a mouthpiece for international socialism. I wouldn't be surprised if we wake up in the near future and Bernie Sanders is invited to the Vatican and converts to Christianity and becomes a Catholic. See, Bernie said he's not a practicing Jew. I don't even mean by practicing Jew. He's a Jewish by birth. What do you mean by practicing? What do you practice at being Jewish? Well, you're Jewish. I mean, you got to practice at it? Was there certain scales you have to, you know, play on an accordion? What do you mean he's not a how do you become a practicing Jew? Where'd that word come from? What is he, a practicing Leninist? But anyway, put that aside, the sarcasm. I wouldn't be surprised if he suddenly is invited by his fellow traveler there in the Vatican, and they give him the wafer and he becomes a Catholic. That'd be good for votes. This would be the first non-Christian candidate in history to arrive at this level in American politics. Do you know that? You didn't know that. That's a big thing. That's a big, big thing. Remember what a big issue it was when Kennedy ran for presidency, that he was a Catholic. That was a huge thing. So now we have a non-practicing Jew who has reached this point that he's actually overtaking Hillary Clinton. So he has to make some religious decisions. He may have to convert. He may have to, he has to do something to win over the people who are never going to elect him, unless he, how in the world can he ever win? How in this country with the demographics as they are today? Anything's possible. But I'm not kidding. I would expect the Pope to invite him for an audience. Imagine him having, he'd have to practice a day in the life of Bernie Sanders the day before he flies to Rome to meet the Pope. That would be a heck of a show I could do. I could get into the mindset of it in a few seconds. If you give me it's a Friday, I could lighten up a little bit. Him and the brother, the crazy brother from Oxford, rehearsing. So, Bernie, you're going to visit the Pope? Oh, my God. How are you going to be? What are you going to wear? What kind of suit? The same crumpled suit? Look, it's not going to work in Italy. They're very into style. You'll have to buy a new suit. What suit? I haven't bought a suit in 39 years. I could do the whole thing. What kind of shoes? What kind of suit? What do you say? Do you bow? Do you touch? Do you curtsy? Do you look him in the eye? Do you look away? Do you ask him about simple things? Do you talk about food? Do you say, how's the pizza around here? What if the Pope says it's the best veal in the city? What do I do then? Try the veal. Mr. Sanders, you want to eat? We have a nice veal for you, a veal parmesan. How's the veal in the Vatican? It's the best veal in the city. Oh, yeah, the polonium veal parmesan. It's a wacky weekend. It's a wacky time in America right now. Crazy. It's a crazy time. We're living through crazy times. But as the ancient Greeks said, the great ancient Greek philosopher said, it's good to live in interesting times. And we are living through interesting times. And the way for you to have faith and hope is to take a deep breath and realize, yes, the forces of evil are winning. There's no question that the forces of evil are winning right now. There's a high likelihood that they killed Scalia. High likelihood, because they're covering up any answers to any questions. In other words, if they had nothing to hide, they would answer some of the questions that are surrounding a suspicious death. So there's no question that something nefarious occurred in the mind of anyone who has a brain. That would exclude everyone in the media, with the exception of three people. We're living in interesting times, so say, well, what if they win? What if they actually get a left-winger on the court? What if a left-winger becomes president? What are you supposed to do? Throw yourself off a bridge? You go on. Life goes on. You do the best you can. You have to make preparation. That's all. It's like preparing for death, if that happens. You have to buy as much ammo as you can. You have to hide it. You have to get guns and bury them. I mean, people are thinking like this. You think they're not? They already got the boxes in the backyard. They got secret maps, like with 3 paces and 39 paces to the north, 26 paces to the west, 16 paces to the apple tree, and then go left at the apple tree and turn right at the mulberry tree, and then underneath the peach tree, 16 paces to the right. That's where you bury your weapons. If you think people haven't done it already, you're crazy. They have. Because they fear this government. They fear it. because it's to be feared. This is a government to be feared. This is certainly not a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. This is a government of the president, by the president, and for the president, which is virtually unheard of in the history of this nation. The man is an out-and-out dictator, but he's so good at his deceit that you don't even know he's bad. The man is so good at his deceit, you don't know he's bad. Because if he wasn't good at it, he wouldn't have gotten to the get, from the get-go, he wouldn't have gotten anywhere. But he's such a good salesman at selling evil that you think it's goodness. Now, waiting in the wings is someone worse than him. That's the horror of it all. You, if God forbid, through a fluke, the street communist Bernie Sanders should wind up in the presidency, almost like the movie that I keep repeating, mentioning the same movie over and over again. Peter Sellers, remember? Being there, where Chauncey Gardner becomes the leader of England, I believe, simply because he was in the right place at the right time, and he's a complete dummy, doesn't know anything. And because he can't answer a question, but he's dressed well, and he smiles when they ask him a question, he gives an enigmatic smile. Peter Sellers did such a great role that people think he's brilliant. They say, they answer for him. So they say, Mr. Gardner, what do you think about the situation in the Suez Canal? And he looks at them and he says things like, in springtime, the roses come up. And they go, oh my God, I see what you mean. And so he starts moving up higher and higher in the government because he's invited into the inner circle and the women think he's a genius. And then the politicians, because their wives think he's a genius, think he doesn't know anything. The guy is illiterate. He never learned to read or write. He was a gardener all his life. What I'm saying is Bernie Sanders is like that, only 1,000 times worse, because he does know what he's talking about. He's extremely analytical in his hatred for everything decent about our way of life. He resents anyone who's better than him to such an extent that he will get more vicious than Obama has ever gotten. This is something you should understand. And that's why I'm telling it to you. He's a very dangerous type. I knew this type in New York. It's one of the reasons I left New York, is this type disgusted me. This is the type that I just got me sick. They were born into a country where they could have done anything, and because they achieved nothing, they resented everyone who did something in life and got somewhere. And they have nothing but hatred for the country, nothing but hatred for the system, and they live off turning one race against the other, one sex against the other. They live on division and hatred. So think about that one. Let's take some callers here on the Savage Nation when I come back. The phone number has, well, we have one open line, 855-407-2822, 855-407-SAVAGE, back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Music I grew up to. That's why my generation was able to meet women, fall in love with them, and have a family. Then what followed was music that debased women, made women into something that they aren't, and the rest is history. Après-moi le déluge. The turning point in America, the turning year, was 1970. After 1970, things started to go bad. I think one day I'm going to write an essay on what happened after 1970. You can all see it in the movies, by the way. One of my favorite genres is movies from the early 70s, and all the cars seen in the New York City street are American. There's almost no, quote, foreign cars. Did you know that? Maybe there was a Volkswagen here and there that came in the 50s. And maybe you saw a Volvo here and there. That was about it. But it was 99% American cars. After about 1970, the world, America, opened itself up to the invasion of foreign products. Then we'll argue, well, they were better cars and this. Now, well, they did improve the manufacturing here in this country. There's no question about that. But the big but is, had the politicians not fallen for the ruse of free trade, which is a lie, by the way. There's no such thing as free trade. Don't be deceived. You go try to export a product to any other country in the world and see if it's free trade. So you can listen to these idiots who live inside a bell jar, and they give you textbook arguments about free trade and that when you put in tariffs, you destroy the economy. It's all textbook discussions from people who have never created a product that anyone ever bought. Moreover, they never try to sell a product overseas. I understand business in ways you could never imagine. And I'm telling you, if you try to sell a product to Japan, see what kind of tariffs you're going to pay. Go try to sell a product to Mexico and see what kind of tariff you pay. So please don't argue with me about free trade. Don't give me the Reagan-esque arguments from a textbook you read somewhere. But that's not the point of the conversation. Here's the point of the conversation. Ed on KSFO is calling. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind, Ed?
Yes, Dr. Savage. My father's letter that I sent you was to implicate one of the things that power has been pushed in this country. And if
hold on. This is the gentleman who sent me an anonymous letter. I did not ask for his call. It was a letter from a listener that came to me through a third party. He says his father was killed in the exact same way that Scalia was killed because he was a threat to the power structure in California. And you say he was killed, you think, by ethylene glycol or foxglove, correct?
That is correct. Yeah. As much investigation that we could do on this and the way that he...
Ed, please call. Stay on the line for hour number three. I must hear more about this on the Savage Nation.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Savage Nation. In this hour, we're going to focus on the scrofulariaceae. The what? The scrofulariaceae. That's the figwort family that contains a very interesting plant known as digitalis, or foxglove, actually. Foxglove. Oh, it's a common garden plant, and you've heard the name digitalis. The most common one in your garden is digitalis purpurea. It's grown as an ornamental plant because of its beautiful flowers. And the shape of the bell-like flowers is very interesting in digitalis. And what it means is, think digitalis. It means it can fit over your digit, over your finger. That's where it came from. But the point of me talking about this particular botanical in the scrofulariaceae is because it may be related to a political subject of the week, which is the strange death of a Supreme Court justice at a very obscure ranch with symptoms that could reflect the slight sprinkling of this member of the scrofulariaceae upon his food. And joining us right now on the Savage Nation is an anonymous listener who sent me an email through a third party about the strange death of his father. Ed on KSFO, welcome back to the program. So, your father was a very well-known water expert, right?
Yes, sir. He was even more than that. He had a PhD in anthropology and was on the lecture circuit for not only for California, but for Wyoming, Idaho, and New Mexico.
And he was an expert on gold history. And his political enemies were who? Who were his political enemies?
His political enemies were right in the state of California in the House of Representatives. And many of the people that he was about to indict had to do with the gold transfer and the powers of the building of the railroad. And he was about to tell the real truth of the state of California and publish his book. And they stopped him from publishing that material.
And all right, but then he went, you said he ate a meal. He died soon after, was found flat on his face in a motel room at a resort for prominent people in the state of California. We don't have to name the resort. What happened next, Ed?
Let's get the point here. He was giving a lecture. Within 20 minutes after eating his meal, he sat down for it. He said, "I don't feel good." Now, he was also an investigator in the state of California, so he carried quite a few licenses. And one of the things that he said to us children, he says, "I don't like coincidences." And I got to tell you, the coincidence between the way he died and Judge Scalia died is a coincidence. And it would only be 16 years between the death of him and Judge Scalia. Scalia. That means these people are still alive and still active in their trade. And the idea that he was poisoned was by several experts. There was a doctor there at the assembly who took a look at him afterwards and felt that it was suspicious. And I will not give his name over the radio because it would bring suspicions up to him. But I will say that they felt that it was either digoxin or it was foxglove because of the death and the way he felt afterwards. And this is something that we have not been able to prove because of the cremation after his death. And he was...
Who decided to cremate your father?
The coroner.
Yeah. Without asking the family?
That's correct.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. What power does a coroner have to override a family? I didn't know that that existed.
Well, sure it exists. They can make, within 48 hours of the death, they can have him cremated if they can't contact the wife or spouse. And at that time, she was out of town. But my brother was contacted, and by that time, he had already been sent to the crematory. Now, whose orders was that? That's the question that we're not able to follow up. But it had to be somebody definitely that was in power over the coroner that mandated it.
And where in California, which county did that occur in?
That was recorded in Willits, California.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Which county?
The city of Willits.
Oh, Willits. So you are suspicious of Justice Scalia's death is what the point of this discussion is, correct?
Yes, sir, I am. And I will tell you, I worked in the food service, in the industry, both serving alcoholic beverages, and I was a chef for over 30 years. I've worked for the government and served the Pentagon boys and the president's boys. And I will tell you, there's a saying that goes around, don't piss off your chef. It's easy to pass on toxins in foods if someone's angry at you.
So you said it's your suspicion that your father had been poisoned by digoxin or ethyl glycol. And then you said foxglove is easily sprayed on food. Now, foxglove, in which form can it be sprayed on food?
In a liquid form. It could be put in a basis of alcohol, made in a tincture, and very easily sprayed on a salad. And can take somebody out within a few minutes. It's not.
And you said the symptoms are very similar to the symptoms described about Mr. Scalia.
Yes, they are.
Is that they don't feel well after they eat, but they're able to get up and walk to a bed, for example. Isn't that what you're saying?
Well, they were both flat on the floor when they were found.
No, I thought that Mr. Scalia was found on his bed, not on the floor.
Yeah, paralysis had already set in. Yeah.
No, but the report was he was found on his bed with a pillow behind his head, over his head, but he was in his bed.
Well, I'll tell you, my father was found flat on the floor. He just opened the door to the room, and that was it.
Yeah. Yes, but Mr. Scalia was found on his bed lying down. Let's put the pillow aside without any wrinkles on his clothing or on the bed sheets, which indicates what to you?
That he had paralysis.
And somebody helped him lie down on the bed?
I doubt it. I think he walked right over and totally went out. Because once you're exposed to this, you're not going to be able to move within 20 minutes. That's going to be it. Your heart's going to...
All right. Now, you said if a blood analysis had been done soon after death using a gas spectrometer, the chemicals residue would show up, correct?
Correct.
But if no one is looking for it, you're right, no one would notice the difference except for one thing. The patient's or the deceased's eyes would remain dilated.
Thank you.
So if there had been a doctor present or had been called or a coroner who was not corrupt had been called, the coroner could have seen dilated pupils and noted that, correct?
Correct.
But there was no coroner. Instead, they found an uneducated dolt of a local justice who said, myocardial infarction and couldn't even pronounce the words. Remember us playing that soundbite?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay, this was no joke. It's indicative of the fact that this is right out of A Touch of Evil. I mean, this is a movie that Orson Welles could do. And yet, No one is talking about this, Ed. At the very least, shouldn't there have been some attempt to allay some suspicions instead of dismissing them all as conspiracy theories by nuts?
They still have the body of Scalia. If they really wanted to do analysis, they could.
Oh, boy. Oh, you mean the eyes would still be dilated?
No, the eyes dilation is only gonna last for about 2 hours, and then the eyes are going to go back to normal.
All right, so what would they be able to find since they've already performed a horrendous procedure on Mr. Scalia's body, God rest his soul? They've already mutilated it.
Well, if they have bothered to take any kind of samples of his intestinal tract or a blood analysis, like I said, a spectrometer would show that and show the chemicals in his blood, and it would show it in his hair, you know?
There would be a hair analysis, even at this late date, a week later, a hair analysis might show the residue of a chemical?
Certainly show glycol at the root of the hair, because it would pass.
And yet there's been no call for this. But what do you make of the fact that his son said, leave us alone, we're happy with the, I mean, not happy with, we're, was satisfied it was natural causes, there's no need for an investigation. What do you think that's about?
I think that's how you cover up a good murder.
So why would a family member suggest such a thing?
To protect, to keep the family from being involved in any kind of scandal or having the media at their front door. They're trying to
keep
the whole procedure down.
Do you think that it's cruel of me to even ask these questions and because everyone else stopped asking them and they've moved on to important things such as Anderson Cooper asking Jeb Bush what his favorite music is? Isn't that what I should be doing as a talk show host, talking about Jeb Bush's favorite music?
Dr. Savage, I believe, as you've had Trump on your radio, I do think this move is a move on the chessboard of the world chessboard. To take somebody out that is very powerful, that represents the right side. And you know that the Supreme Court has to vote in the president.
Now, wait, the Supreme Court has to do what?
It has to get the approval of the Supreme Court to vote in the president.
What do you mean, after an election?
Well, just to get the election going, it has to be approved at the higher levels before he can even be allowed. Right now, Trump isn't even in a playing card other than in the public and doing announcements.
You're implying something else here, aren't you? You're implying, a message to Donald Trump?
No, I believe that the far liberal left is trying to put a person in office other than a conservative.
Well, what would the Supreme Court have to do with the general election, though? I'm not following that.
Well, sure, Mr. Savage. You know that the Supreme Court makes a decision and approval of who is going to be in office and who is not going to be in office in their smoky rooms long before this conversation even goes to the public. And right now it's not before the public. All you're seeing is people on the microphones.
You mean they're the secret star chamber who selects the president?
Yeah, that's the way it's been going ever since the Carter administration.
I didn't know about that one. Stay on the line for another minute or two. I want to ask a few questions. This is very disturbing. I'll be back in a moment.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUYCOFULARIACA on the Savage Nation. It's a botanical show, nothing to do with Supreme Court Justice Scalia's passing. We're talking about a plant in the Scrofulariaceae named foxglove, or you know it as the digitalis plant, or it's known by its popular name as, it's an ornamental plant, you've seen it in your garden. Common foxglove in plain English. There's a gentleman sends me an email, I don't know him, comes anonymously through a third party, and he says his father died under suspicious circumstances in the same way years ago, and he was a very important investigator who was about to blow the whistle on some politicians in California. In California. Are you with us, Ed? Welcome back to the Savage Nation.
I am.
Ed, you said something that I couldn't follow. You said the Supreme Court secretly picks the candidates?
Yes, what I'm saying is the smoky back rooms do exist. And to make any kind of agreement who they're going to select to put their candidate up is done way outside, way before any kind of electoral process takes place. And this
is that why they hate Donald Trump? Because he wasn't in the smoky room?
Well, Donald Trump is not somebody who's been in politics. He's been just someone who's been in corporations. And he doesn't have any past as far as being a governor or any kind of official position in a state. And this is something that to hold a legal title, he's going to have to make friends at very obscure places. And I believe that Scalia was one of those people that would be in his corner.
Interesting. So how do they pick a communist like Sanders, a lowlife like him, and let him beat Hillary Clinton so far? How does that happen?
I don't think Sanders is being picked. I think Sanders is qualified by his past situation as a previous governor of a state, and a state that is in very poor condition. If you follow...
Well, I don't think he was a governor. He was a senator, former mayor of a small city, and he won only by a squeaky margin. Do you think that the powers that be really want someone like him in the White House?
No, I think that they're trying to use this gentleman to not only make the show, but slow down Hillary.
No, I think they're using him to make Hillary look more centrist and more appealing.
That's what I just said.
But in any case, the bottom line to our discussion is your father, rest his soul, was an intelligent, highly educated man who was about to blow the whistle on some corruption in the state of California. He was invited to a meal at a resort for prominent people, and he died suspiciously like Scalia. That's the sum total, correct?
That's correct.
And you, as a former chef who worked in some very high places, believe it could have been foxglove or ethyl glycol, because the symptoms are similar. I mean, that's what you're saying, correct?
Yep. That's what I'm saying, either in a drink or in his salad. It would have to be a water-based salad in order to hold the molecules in place.
Well, you've made your point, Ed. My fear is, though, it's going to go nowhere. Because although this program is heard worldwide, apparently we have a somnolent press that does hardly show any pulse whatsoever. We certainly have no investigative reporting. And there's no guts in the Republican Party to demand an investigation. So what might come of this? I don't know. Our only hope is Japanese, Chinese, Russian television. They come to America and demand answers. RT television should come to Texas and demand answers. When I was a kid, loved them. Such energy. Such unbelievable manic energy. Died at 20 of a heroin overdose. Too much too soon. He rose too high, too fast. the old story of the feathers and the wax, getting too close to the sun. Which of our candidates is the myth of... Which is that myth? You know, my mind is not working 100% right now. It's a V12 running on 11 cylinders right now. Which is the myth, the Greek myth? It's not Sisyphus where he rolls the rock up the hill, labors it up the hill only to see it roll down the other side, and then has to roll it back up the hill again and see it roll down the other side through eternity. That's the myth of Sisyphus. That's talk radio hosts. We roll the boulder up the hill every day, and then we watch it roll down the hill, and the next day we get up, we have to roll the boulder up the hill. But some of us are made for it. It's that simple. We're made to roll boulders up hills and watch them roll down the other side for eternity. It's like breaking rocks. You have to be made for this work. What's the myth where they fly too close to the sun? It's not Sisyphus. Robert, do you know? With the wax wings. What? Now look it up. It's not that guy. You want to talk about the thing already? The transgendered at a CIA? This is one I didn't get to yet. This is a good one. This you're not going to believe. I found this on an obscure website. The time Allen Ginsberg wrote a socialist poem about Bernie Sanders, you're not going to believe this one. It was on, I don't know what site it was on, some left-wing newspaper. Last June, while digging through 50 boxes of archival material about Bernie Sanders' 4 terms as the mayor of Burlington, Vermont, a reporter for the British newspaper The Guardian found a poem by Allen Ginsberg written by hand on a 1986 visit to the city. Burlington Snow didn't name Sanders, but he was clearly the populist muse that inspired it. And then he wrote this wonderful poem about him. And the ugliness of this is that Ginsberg was a well-known supporter of NAMBLA, North American Man Boy Love Association. And here's a Jewish newspaper. Now remember, The Forward, which is a socialist Jewish newspaper, is glorifying Ginsberg and glorifying Bernie Sanders. Why? Because they were both socialists. Can you believe that they haven't changed at all? The Forwards was originally written for immigrant Jews just off the boat, and it was extremely socialistic and left-wing. And they're still in business, if you can believe this, selling to 14 people on the Upper West Side who are all millionaires who still think they're socialists. And they all have summer homes in Burlington, Vermont, where Bernie Sanders is from. Pretty amazing. So, yeah, and this is an interesting little story. And they said they don't think that Sanders would want to have this poem published right now because the poem praises the socialist tradition that they're seeing in Bernie Sanders. And nobody would have predicted that Sanders would be waging such an effective campaign to move the Democratic Party in a more progressive direction. Whenever you hear the word progressive, reach for your Glock. It means they're coming for your guns, your wife, and your family, the way the ex-Soviets did. That's what the word progressive means. It means they're coming to get you. They're coming to take away everything you've worked for your whole life. They're regressives. They're from Stonehenge. But they don't think Sanders is going to want this poem published because he was too tied into the NAMBLA movement, North American Man Boy Love Association, and they don't think that would be good for Sanders' campaign. We'll have to wait and see whether Sanders people will like to glorify. Who knows? It could work for him today. They're looking for transgenders at the CIA. Who knows what could happen tomorrow? We don't know what this country can be in a day. Let's take some calls. WDRC, Connecticut. Mike, welcome. What's the topic? Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. How are you?
What's up?
I do regret to inform you that, in my professional opinion, from reading the obituary and the services for Dr. Scalia, I feel that he's going to be cremated. That's the way that it reads. They wouldn't announce...
Are you the funeral director who called yesterday and said in all your years you've never heard of a hearse, going to pick up a body? It's usually a medical examiner?
True. And that hearse took him an hour, came from an hour away, and then took him to, in the other direction, to El Paso, which is about 3 hours away for the embalming.
Ugh.
The way that it reads is that there is going to be a burial, and that is private. If they wanted anything to be private, that people were going to go and watch, it would be the actual him lying in repose. There are people standing outside in the cold to wait for that.
Well, that's what they're doing right now. They just did that. They did the lying in repose today in Washington with a closed casket.
So they're saying a burial at a later...
Why was the casket closed? Is that typical for a public figure, a closed casket?
Not usually. Maybe there was a private viewing, though, from the family. Maybe.
Yeah, what's the whole point of people procession going by and looking? They want to see a casket. They can go to a casket manufacturer. I mean, they're going to say goodbye to a great man. Don't they want to see the man, his corpse?
Sure, that's part of the whole closure process, which, you know, most popes or any figure is pretty much lies in repose, and it is open usually. The casket is usually open, correct.
So I was surprised that it was a closed casket when they're looking at wood, basically looking at chestnut. What do they make caskets out of today, by the way?
That casket was made out of wood. That was probably made out of either solid oak or mahogany or cherry. It could be stained.
Well, that's nice. They are very traditional. At least it wasn't reprocessed sawdust chippings from a bamboo factory. You have to keep in the green theme.
There were a lot of caskets.
I heard, by the way, years ago, since I have you on the phone, I know nothing about it. I read that they're making biodegradable caskets now.
Yes, that is because of green burials. And
well, what's the whole point? Wasn't the whole point of a casket to keep the bugs out as long as possible?
Well, that's more the purpose of the vault. If you don't have a burial vault, it won't matter. It's like you dump about 5,000 pounds of dirt on top of it. Anything will crush. It doesn't matter what it's made out of. So a solid concrete.
Oh, that's horrible, man. I remember now my mother's funeral, my father's funeral, my brother. I can't think of it right now. That's horrible. But you're in this business. You know, it's a side note. Doesn't it affect you every day to be around death, dying, and burial? Does it weird you out?
No, people always ask me that. They ask me if I get sad or if I do. I mean, there are certain occasions when children pass or things like that. But a lot of times, someone has to guide them through the process. They have a process they have to go through as far as closure and celebrating the life. So someone has to keep a calm head and guide them through that.
I remember there was a TV show that I liked called 6 Feet Under. Did you ever watch that when it was popular about 10 years ago?
I watched it from the first 2 years of it, and then it just got too completely weird.
Yeah, it was repetitive. In the beginning, it was kind of freaky, weird, interesting. So you grew up in a funeral home?
Yes.
Oh, so you are like a 6 Feet Under guy.
I hear that.
The crow, the whole thing. Your father was a mortician?
Yes.
Really? So what was it like being a kid knowing... Did he let you downstairs to ever see any of the procedures?
No, we weren't really... You're not really allowed down there, but once I did my apprenticeship...
Yeah, but as a child, they become curious. Didn't you want to break in and see?
Sure, we were more interested in seeing the caskets and going into the casket room than actually seeing any deceased.
Is it a good business? I mean, you make money at it?
Sure. It's profitable.
No, I'm not laughing at it. I mean, it's a very important, you know, you think about it, it's a service you perform. A very important one. And you're right, somebody does have to remain, so sober about the whole situation and guide the family through this ultimate experience. There's no jokes about it. I mean, you know, it's the way of all flesh, as they say. No one wants to think about it, but everyone will eventually meet you or someone along your line of work. Let's put it to you that way.
Well, people have always found it fascinating. So anytime I'm at a dinner table, people do like to ask questions about it.
Well, because we're all curious. I remember my little experience with this subject. I had come back from a trip to Europe when I was very young, trying to find myself. I was a typical, 18, 20-year-old. I didn't know what I wanted to do, whatever. I don't know how old I was. And I didn't know where I wanted to go with my life. I took a job at Queens General Hospital in Queens, New York, that looked like Auschwitz, like red brick with a chimney that went up in the air. Unbelievable. I went in the hospital. I took a job since I was a bio grad. I didn't know what to do. As an assistant in the room where they perform, what do you call it? Not autopsies. Autopsies, right.
Pathological studies.
Yeah, I was the guy, like a kid that they hired with a bachelor's degree to clean up the floor, basically. I quit after one day. I threw the mop down and left. I couldn't believe what I was watching. To this day, I'm haunted by the image of the three people I saw being torn apart by the medical examiner. I could not believe what I was watching. I remember writing a story about it. The medical examiner was smoking a cigar with an ash falling off a cigar onto the corpse as he was tearing the skull cap off one of the subjects to get at the brain, to do what they do with brains. Can you believe this?
Yes, he probably didn't have gloves on at the time.
No gloves. I saw a white male who looked perfectly healthy in his 50s. I saw a child 5 years old, it's enough to break your heart, laying like an angel. There was no cause of death. I saw an elderly black woman. You know, you see older people, you could say you can understand it, but you see a child that doesn't have a mark on its body dead, you know, who knows what that was.
Sure, that's probably being the mop boy at a go-go bar, too.
I want to ask you a crazy question, since it's a subject that's eerie. It's like already Edgar Allan Poe territory now. I know the audience either turned the show on or is going, they're hanging on every word we're saying right now. Either they flipped, they're ready to hear more about Trump and Cruz and bump and dump and dump, and or they're listening, because this is a subject that I'm fascinated by. I have a dog I love, a little 10-pound poodle. I'm not kidding now. This is not like, you know, sarcastic. And he was with the dental recently. If you listen to the show, they removed teeth. I was brokenhearted when he came out. It was so sad. He
So then you think ahead. Okay, he's going to live another few years. He looks great now. He's as spunky as a little guy. But I'm looking at him, you know, we usually outlive our pets. That's the way it is. Do people bury dogs these days?
People probably treat dogs more humanely than they treat others.
No, but I mean, this is a crazy question. Do they get caskets and a ceremony for an animal?
No. They just have a cremation. And then a lot of times they put the cremains in a casket at a later date of somebody who has passed on. So there is
why, if it applies to a human body, why don't they put a dog in a casket and bury it?
I think most people who do that would just dig a ditch in their backyard and bury them.
I went to that night he was away before the doctor. I had a whole thing in my head. I was already going to a Mexican guy I know into a Mexican neighborhood and seeing if they had. I swear to God, this is not a joke. Like, do they have little caskets for, God forbid, if the children or infants die? Do they bury them? Could I get a casket pre-made? I was like, my mind was going there already. Would you believe that?
Sure, people, you know, they're like family. So people.
Yeah, this is the unbelievable. Like family. Unbelievable. Every moan, every groan, every smile, every laugh, every move. He's there for me. It was like a spirit that's attached to my body. It's unbelievable. I had dogs all my life. I never had an animal like this. This is an animal spirit, not a dog. You know, that's what it becomes. Anyway, that's a little side note. I guess we're talking about Scalia's passing. We're talking about the issue of, what people think. And we had a gentleman on whose father was found in similar circumstances, and he believes his father was killed because he was on the trail of some corrupt politicians. And then you called saying that you're afraid that Mr. Scalia is going to be cremated, and it's over at that point, right?
Yes, because a autopsy post-embalming is and can show, as their last guest alluded to, hair and also other guts.
All right, so in other words, if there was any guts for this, it could be demanded immediately by a Republican committee. Overnight, they could convene a committee and demand it and say there were suspicious circumstances. But you know and I know that the press has covered it up and dismissed anyone who asks these questions as being a nut. And they've also immediately neutralized anyone who would ask the question as a marginal figure. That's already happened. They've already turned it into a laugh line if you even ask a rational question. But anyone with an education knows that this was a suspicious death. Well, thank you very much for calling. I hope that we meet under better circumstances. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America. Remember this, is the most important story of the day. Transgenders are wanted at the CIA. Doesn't matter whether they're good at the job, whether they can be good spies, or they have any background in this business. It's important only that the CIA hire talented Africans, Asians, Hispanics, Middle Eastern, South Asian, Native American, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender individuals. Also persons with disabilities, veterans, and women. And the CIA is making certain that they're going to get this because they're going to monitor diversity through an inclusion index, quote-unquote, to identify how many people have met the goals of replacing all white males with individuals of African, Asian, Hispanic, Middle Eastern, South Asian, Native American, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, such. Because, quote, according to the plan, there is unconscious bias at the CIA. And they're looking into unconscious bias by giving unconscious bias training. That's called thought control and thought police. This is what happens when you have a fanatical left-wing maniac in the White House. A fish rots from the head down. Obama is a rotten fish who has rotted out the entire government. I don't think God himself can save this country after this man is through with us. Have a nice weekend.